this is during the time that Moses is no longer and Joshua is taken over. And I'm going to go ahead and start reading in Deuteronomy chapter 34. And then we'll read through first two chapters of Joshua. There's a prostitute that we will read about in this reading this morning that just kind of helps show that no matter who we are or what we are, God can use us. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho, and the Lord showed him all the land Gilead as far as Dan, and Naphtali, the land of Ephraim, and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negeb, and the plain that is the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, as far as Zoar. And the Lord said to him, "This is the land of which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to your offspring. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there." So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor, but no one knows the place of his burial to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was undimmed and his vigor unabated. And the people of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him for all the signs and the wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. You know, as we read through this, there's times that it seems that the Israelites have forgotten what God has done for them. And as we read these next scriptures, we see that there was people outside of the Israelites that knew what God had done for the Israelites. And so think about that as we're reading these next scriptures, and how people had heard of the signs and the things that God had done, and so because God was on their side, they feared him. We'll start reading in Joshua now in chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, "Moses, my servant is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I will give to you, just as I promised to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river of Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the midst of the camp, and command the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan to go in to take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And to the Reubenites and the Gadites and half tribe of Manasseh, and Joshua said, remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is providing you a place of rest, and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land that Moses gave you beyond the Jordan. But all the men of valor among you shall pass over, armed before your brothers, and shall help them, until the Lord gives rest to your brothers as he has to you, and they also take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possessions and shall possess it. The land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise. And they answered, Joshua, all that you have commanded us we will do, and wherever you send us we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all the things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against you, your commandment, and disobeys your words, whatever you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Somebody forgot to put their phone on silent. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent two men secretly from Shittim as spies, saying, go, view the land, especially Jericho. And they went and came into the house of a prostitute, whose name was Rahab, and lodged there. And it was told to the king of Jericho, behold, men of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land. Then the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them, and she said, true, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And when the gate was about to close at dark, the men went out. I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hid them with the stalks of flax that she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued after them on the way to the Jordan as far as the fords, and the gate was shut as soon as the pursuers had gone out. Before the men lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know the Lord has given you the land, and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sion and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in the heaven above and on the earth beneath. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that I have dealt kindly with you also. You also will deal kindly with my father's house and give me a sure sign that you will save alive my father and mother and my brothers and sisters and all who belong to them and deliver our lives from death. And the men said to her, our life for yours, even to death. If you do not tell this business of ours, then when the Lord gives us the land, we will deal kindly and faithfully with you. Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was built into the city wall, so that she lived in the wall. And she said to them, go into the hills, or the pursuers will encounter you, and hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Then afterwards you may go your way. The men said to her, we will be guiltless with respect to this oath of yours that you have made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, you shall tie this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And you shall gather into your house your father and mother and your brother and all your father's household. Then if anyone goes out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we shall be guiltless. But if a hand is laid on anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on your head. But if you tell the business of ours, then we shall be guiltless with respect to your oath that you have made us swear. And she said, according to your words, so be it. Then she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. They departed and went into the hills and remained 3 days until the pursuers returned, and the pursuers searched all along the way and found nothing. Then the two men returned. They came down from the hills and passed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and they told him all that had happened to them. And they said to Joshua, truly the Lord has given all the land into our hands, and also all the inhabitants of the land melt away because of us. So it's just kind of amazing to me how the Israelites that God did all these things for had forgotten at times what God had done for them, but still then when they go to Jericho and the people are all talking about the things that God has done to the Israelites, and they're afraid. Carolyn was talking a while ago about how tall her grandson was, but compared to the king of Og, he was not that big. And he was overtaken through God's people. And we can do great things through God as long as we give God the glory. That was Moses' mistake. He didn't give God the glory. He didn't get to go into the promised land. He got to see it. And the people that are left now that the younger generation, they seem to be all on board. You know, they're whatever you tell us we'll do was with Moses, and now they're that way with Joshua. So maybe they have learned something from the older generation that did not make it to the promised land. They say anyone who does not do Joshua's commandments, they will put him to death. And there's plenty of times that the Israelites messed up before this. Yeah, I'm sure that the stories were told to them. They weren't there when they crossed the Red Sea, but they had heard about it as well. And, you know, God does good things in our lives, but sometimes as we're going through our lives, we're wondering, why is he letting this happen to us, or why are we having to go through this? And that's the way the Israelites were. I mean, when they came out of slavery, everything was good for a little while, and then next they're pointing at Moses and telling him, you brought us out here to starve us to death. Why didn't we just stay? We had plenty to eat in Egypt. And every little thing, and of course, they were looking at Moses all the time instead of at God. Yeah, and it's amazing too, as a nation, when things are going good and you know they're all talking about we need to get prayer and everything out of the schools and then when 9/11 happened, everybody was praying and talking about prayer and stuff. When we're in trouble, when we're hurting, we turn to God, and otherwise we're, look at us, what we've done or what we can do, or and it's like we don't realize the need for God. But then when we're in trouble, Kevin has talked about that in some of his lessons, and how, I don't remember what, remember he had a ability put together or something about that, about how we just want to be Christians when we're in trouble. I can't remember what he said. I remember him saying something about that. And then there's, and when they get there, you know, Rahab is telling them about all the things and how the people are scared and everything, and she's, you know, probably a lowly a person as there is in the community there, and she's the one that God uses to protect the spies and ends up being part of Jesus' genealogy. If we read in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 5, where it's talking about the genealogy of Christ, her name is there. So it doesn't matter how little we are or how bad we've messed up, God can still use us if we'll let Him. No comments from this side? In the book, it talks about Rahab's lie. Is it okay to lie? So Rahab tells the men of Jericho that, yeah, the guys have came here, but they left, went out the gate just before dark, go and pursue them, when she had actually hid them in her house. And it actually did save the guys by her telling the lie, but it also tells us in, like in Proverbs,
it's always been that way, though. God takes a word nationwide and it's all good, then they turn away from God, and when they get really bad,
there's different times throughout the scripture that God does use lies, but that does not make it okay to lie. I'm not sure what she could have done other than lie to him to help him out, but God used it because of her faith and
question number six, in the face of the situation where it seems as though lying would be an action that would just protect someone from harm, how might you respond in a way that demonstrates your faith to God?
So are you going to answer that for us? I think, you have to think of some of the people in the Bible that had great faith in God. And if you're, if you're faced with being thrown in a fiery furnace, but you have faith in God, you won't lie about it. What do you think, Jason?
I think it's really easy to sit back retrospectively and look at people in the Bible and mistakes and criticize the world, but personally, I can see where a lot of these people make those decisions. I've made numerous errors in my faith, whether being proud to proclaim it or failing to take the opportunity to witness to somebody.
Well, and when we go through the Old Testament and we see all the times that these people turn away from God and everything, we're like, man, these people just, they weren't too sharp. They never did get it, you know? But when you think about it, we read it, you can read it in a week's time or whatever, and you're seeing all these things and it just happens one right after another. Well, it didn't happen like that. It happened over years. And when we look at our nation, you know, like Dad was saying, it was found under God and we were a Christian nation. Well, how far away from that have we gotten? And then things might help to bring us back to that. But yeah, we're still doing the same things that the Israelites did. Yeah, it don't take us long to forget. What's that? Yeah, it's easy for us to lift somebody up on a pedestal and then be disappointed when we should be looking to God, not to somebody that we think is faithful and good, because we're all going to mess up. What's that?
I said those people are still important and essential. It's just the reality is that they're people.
Right.
That's why this is going to help, but I can't stand the term politics. And I don't mean that because of like the concept behind it, but it's just it sets a bar that is should be achievable, but it's not. And we have to be a little careful about like that and thought process of yes, that's where we should be going, but
anybody that we hold to a higher standard. They're just like us. Yeah, and I think sometimes we think, well, I'm doing as good as Jason is, so I'm all right. But that we have one one person that we need to use as our, and that being Christ. And we will never be able to be as perfect as Christ was, but we can, but we have something to strive for. Any other comments? So, next week, Hunter will be back and he can run us over. I'm going to let you out early. And Asher fell asleep and never rang the bell.